This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. Well, it seems like a long time. Usually we do this a couple days after a game. That Thursday night game seems like a long time ago since that game happened. We had that game. We had the Friday night basketball game on the baton that I was there for, which was great.
It hasn't been long enough.
You don't think so? The 24-hour rule hasn't impacted the ozone, huh?
No, it could be much longer.
And, well, you had a Sunday off. How much football did you watch?
I watched the afternoon game and, you know, had the night game on. I try to, you know, Sundays I have a 16-year-old, so I try to, you know, spend a little time with the family.
Child or
he doesn't
else?
Like it. Oh. But, you know, he doesn't like dad spending time with him, but you gotta force it.
Yeah.
You gotta force it. So yeah, I mean, I watched the the Eagles Cowboys game, and the Eagles are about what I thought they'd be this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah. By the way, talk about a team that has dispelled the thought that you can buy a championship in the National Football League with all their free agents spending the last.
And that's what I mean. All off. I mean, it's not an Eagle show, obviously, but all off season, I kept saying, yeah, this is the exact formula they followed last year. And it just doesn't work. It's very difficult to go out and buy and, you know, put together these all-star pieces because all-star players aren't out there. You draft all-star players.
Yeah, very rarely. And, in fact, great example, some news around the NFL before we get things started here. Ray Edwards, who was a defensive end, Atlanta, went out and signed in free agency before last year.
Mm-hmm.
They just let him go. Middle of the year this year.
Of course. I mean, yeah, and it's...
Who wasn't getting it done. His performance wasn't very good. They had overpaid for him, most people would have agreed. And then I'm guessing there may be something else going on here, his behavior in the locker room, whatever else, but...
It's a difficult story to learn, and you understand why teams are tempted to do it, because you sit there, you have holes, you want to upgrade, and then the only thing... And you get desperate in March, and you just want to upgrade so bad, and then you overspend, and... You know, you realize when they get here or when they get to your place, that they were out there for a reason.
And this is maybe a whole different conversation, but I wonder if things would change if, like happened a couple years ago, the draft came first, then free agency opened up.
A little, but you would still have teams that after the draft they had holes to fill. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the long run, the Players Association likes having free agency before the draft.
All right, let's get things started here. Jaguars Report is presented by Burger King, and we fire it up.
And now, three burning questions.
All right, the burning questions right now delivered by Joe Fortunato.
Thank you, Cole Pepper. First question, is Blaine Gabbert regressing?
No, because I think... You could make a very strong argument that the last three or four games have been his best of his, whatever it is now, 23, 24-game career. Now, is he progressing quickly enough is another question, but he's not regressing.
Well, I think you can't take a snapshot of the horse race and say that's the truth of the situation. He did not play as well on Thursday night as he had, say, against Green Bay.
No.
All right, so I'm taking it in quarters of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And first quarter, there were some struggles, a lot of drops as well. Second quarter of the season, obviously we had, you know, you saw flashes here and there, but nothing fantastic. Third quarter of the season now has certainly been better. Let me make sure I'm counting these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So...
Math's hard.
Oakland.
Math is hard.
Well, I was told there'd be no math. Oakland and Green Bay would have been in the second quarter of the season. right? Mm-hmm. And then Indianapolis would start the third quarter of the season. So now we're into the third quarter. We'll see how it plays out. Again, I'm sort of feeling the same way right now about Gabbert that I have for the last several weeks, which is he's shown signs of improvement. They're not consistent enough, and he needs to show more improvement. He needs to be better at the end of the year than he is right now.
Yeah, and it again, I don't know after week 9 if he's going to be the franchise guy for 10 years.
Right.
But I do know he's better than he was last year. And you know, I don't know what that means. It's hard to tell what that means because so often we want quick answers, and this is just not always a league of quick answers because there are so many moving parts. This is not baseball where you can look at a guy and see he is batting X and he's not affected by very many other things. You are affected by so much around you that it's just hard to tell. And very likely we're going to get to the end of the season and it's still not going to be a hard, fast 100% everybody saying yes or everybody saying no. It's going to be where there's a year and a half of tape or almost 2 years of tape, and that's when you're going to have to judge and figure and meet and figure out what does this mean? What are we doing going forward? Where do we stand?
Yeah. All right, number two.
All right, in your professional opinions, from which...
I have to use my professional opinion?
Yes. Oh. From which position group do the Jaguars most need better play?
Defensive line, and specifically pass rush in particular. This is a league that has become about throwing the football and stopping the throwing of the football. And the four most important positions are quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, and corner. Those are the positions you can take, you know, high in drafts. You can go after in free agency, whatever else. The Jaguars need to have a better pass rush. Right, their pass rush right now is just not getting the job done.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the secondary contributes to that a little bit. I agree with you that it's not where you'd like it, but I still maintain a lot of the pass rush, when you're not playing with a lead, a team that trails a lot, which this team does, is always going to have trouble rushing the passer. It doesn't matter who's playing defense for it. And I can go back to, I covered the Colts for 8 or 10 years. The worst year Freeney and Mathis had together was the year that their defense couldn't get the other team off the field rushing the ball because he didn't have opportunities. But it needs to play better. I think the Lions played better in the last couple of weeks than it did at the beginning of the season. But you still got to get home and get some quarterback sacks at some point.
Yeah, they need the much better pass rush. I agree with you. Some coverage issues have certainly been a part of that. And also, when you're trailing so much and the other team's running the ball, you're not going to get a lot of – it's not just the sack numbers. It's the being able to affect the quarterback. They haven't done enough on, you know, by percentage of pass plays. I don't know what that number is, but my eyes tell me that they haven't been able to affect the quarterback often enough.
All right, final question, guys. What kind of chance do you give the Jaguars this week against Houston?
Oh, I can't sit here and say that there's a very, 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 very good chance. They're huge underdogs. The Texans are playing very well. And most importantly, they're playing with a lot of confidence. They seem to have a feeling, and it's been borne out of the season, that what they do is going to go right. Right now, the Jaguars, when something goes wrong, it goes dramatically wrong. And that's a tough thing to overcome. There's going to be points in this game on Sunday where there's hope for the Jaguars, and there's going to be something go wrong. And the Jaguars need to overcome that. That's a big theme of mine this week. They got to overcome adversity better. Right now, this is a team that whenever anything goes bad against you, it goes really bad. And that makes playing a good team like the Texans very difficult because the Texans believe they're going to win.
Maybe the best thing the Jaguars have going for them this week.
They're on the road.
They're on the road.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about the curse of playing at home where they just have not performed well at all so far this year. Also, a little bit of a letdown game in terms of where the schedule falls for the Texans after playing Chicago, one of the best teams in the NFC. So we'll see how it plays out.
It's tough, though. I mean, I'll be honest. This is a tough matchup for the Jaguars, even if both teams are close, because what the Texans do very, very well – tends to play into what the Jaguars struggle with.
All right, you can join Blaine Gabbert, captain of the third annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, and 1 mile fun run on November 10th. I'm sorry? Oh, you're right, November 10th. Joe.
That was a great race.
It was a great race. I hope you all joined Blaine Gabbert, part of the McKenzie Noel Wilson. Turn your phone on silent, will you? I wish you were over there. Just, you know, every single press conference, some writer, some scribe sits there with their phone rings, and it takes them 20 minutes to answer it. And I expect more out of you, Osher.
At least I'm getting the cards right.
I know. I mean, you know, somebody's got to. You could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. And you can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations. Learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. All right. We'll get you an injury update when we come back. Plus, we'll also hear from General Manager Gene Smith about what you may not know from Thursday night's game. And we will later on be patching a hole in the ozone. A question that just didn't quite make it on the Jaguars.com. We'll address it right here. More to come on Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right here on Jaguars Radio. Cover that up, will you, Osher?
All right.
Heaven. First the thing's ringing, then he's showing his abs or whatever.
Well, I got
that
abs
is.
Now.
You got something in there.
Somewhere in there.
Something's going on in there. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs. Speaking of ribs, only $10.99. You get a heaping helping of our barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread. Just $10.99. Sonny's the first name in barbecue. Jay Gray, who you hear, of course, on our coverage with a fantasy report every tailgate show, is living his own fantasy right now.
It's a great day to be living a fantasy world. But I'm actually hanging out at Denny's because this is the place to be tonight. Russell Allen and Jeremy Cain are hanging out at the Denny's on Bay Meadows and I-95, signing autographs. So if you're in the area, you definitely want to stop by. Also giving you a chance to win club tickets, a parking pass to an upcoming Jags game. Of course, while you're there, you got to pick up that Denny's Power Play card where you can win the Mega Jags experience for the December 23rd game against New England. All you have to do is get the card, get it stamped at breakfast, lunch, and twice for dinner, and you're registered.
Very nice. So this is the you're at Denny's right now. What location there, Jay?
The Bay Meadows and I-95 location.
Perfect. There we go. All right. We'll check in again with Jay a little bit later on. Jay Gray reporting from Denny's. Nothing like a little Grand Slam report right there. Oh, see what I did?
Yeah,
see what I did there? I will accept payoffs from Denny's on that. Injury update
brought to you. Professional radio.
Yeah, listen, keeping my shirt on and everything. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Blaine Gabbert, left shoulder, still an issue for him, but he's going to play. Everything appears. Interesting, by the way, he mentioned a couple weeks ago that he was not going to take an injection for pain. So he's continuing with that. Dwight Lowry's ankle. I think maybe an outside shot to get on the field.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, he worked on the side Monday. You wouldn't be shocked if he's a week away. But, it certainly sounds like he's going to make an effort to play. Same with Rasheen Mathis.
And Maurice Jones-Drew, when do you think he returns?
I'm not a doctor, but I play on the radio. Not this week. Because he's been ruled out so early this week, you would think next week's iffy. So the following week, maybe.
And does this look infected? All right, you can join the conversation. You can ask your medical questions of John Osher at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. You can also join us on facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. You just cover up your phone?
I don't want to be distracted.
Now you're getting in. You're ready for
it's
the show.
It's a professional radio
now
technique.
You're getting in. You're getting ready for the show. Or you can tweet to either John or myself.
I was actually looking at my tweets.
You see, you're all about the program. At John Osher or at Cole Pepper. All right, let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith what you may not know from Thursday night's game against the Colts.
I think fans know that penalties can certainly affect the outcome of the game, but if you look at the roughing the passer, clearly we lost the ball, and when they got it back, they ended up getting a touchdown on that drive. And that's been the story of our roughing the passer calls. We have given up points, I believe, in every roughing the passer call we've had this year.
interesting connection there. I mean, it's not just been. I mean, they haven't had a ton of penalties. They haven't been a highly penalized team. But when they've done, when they've committed penalties,
right,
been a really very bad times. And
that's sort of, you know, it's sort of what I mentioned earlier about, you know, so far the inability to overcome adversity. You know, you make a penalty, and it puts you in a bad spot, and a young team that is maybe a little shaky in its confidence on whether it's going to win the game or not. They're, you know, they're trying hard.
Yeah,
they haven't
back.
Had success. When something goes against you, there's a little bit of a tendency, oh, here we go again. And, you know, at some point you've sort of got to snap out of that and, you know, break serve, go the other way.
Got a tweet here from Luis who says, if not Gabbert, who? I think he has the skills. Is a matter of consistency and maturity. He is 23. Well, right now, obviously, it is Gabbert, and it's going to be. And the rest of the season has got to be about getting as much information so you know where he is going forward. I don't think it makes any sense, if he's healthy, to play anybody else at this point.
Right.
Somebody's asking about, you know, bringing Jordan Palmer back at this.
No.
None of that makes any sense. By the way, I believe Jordan is going into broadcasting now, just as a side note.
As he should. He'd be good at it.
Yeah, and has, I actually had a conversation with him a few weeks ago. But that all being said, you've got to use the rest of this. I mean, this season, you have to change your perspective if you're a fan a little bit, if you haven't already, and a lot of fans kind of have, and that is, this is almost like an extended preseason in the regard of player evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. You know, if the preseason is about evaluation and preparing for the season, this is about evaluation, yeah. You know, all the way down the line.
Yes, but it's also a little more than that in the sense that, you know, the preseason, as we saw this season, you're playing against teams that, you know, maybe aren't quite as engaged. It's much tougher to get a gauge on what's really going on. The beautiful thing about the next seven games for the Jaguars, if there's anything that can be called beautiful about this season, is you've got seven games where you are playing in real time, so to speak. You're playing against real competition, and the results will be the results. There won't be, oh, well, this wasn't going on, or this team wasn't trying.
Yep.
You've got real time for real judging. And if they can turn some things around and get a few wins and feel better about some things, then that's real too. Even though you're out of it, it's still real stuff. And if most fans don't think they can turn this around, if you win four or five, which seems silly at 1-8, but it can be done, then all of a sudden you feel a lot better about things. So
yeah,
it's a little bit different than preseason in that sense, but you're right. It is about evaluation.
And I will tell you, most of the time, I just don't believe in, you know, creating momentum for the following year.
No, I don't believe that.
It usually doesn't carry over.
It's not about momentum, but you can certainly show if groups play well. If the offense, you know, it has not been very productive so far, if the offense is productive for seven games, then that's realistically something to build on, and it could save jobs, it could keep people together, it could keep groups together, and you could say, okay, I like this going forward.
Right
now, there's not a lot that you look at this team and say, I feel I can rely on X.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do in seven games, is find something that you can rely on and build on.
Yeah, and it sort of is about, you know, identifying the core going mm-hmm. forward. You know, and there are some guys who you right now say, yeah, they're in the core one way or another. You know, Eugene Monroe's in the core. Certainly appears Cecil Shorts is in the core. You know, it's Cameron Bradfield. He has a chance to prove himself
sure.
to be in the core. Pozlesny is in the core. You know, I'm not sure what DeJuan Landry's contract situation
right.
is right off him, but he's a guy who has shown that, you know, he can be in the core. If he's healthy, you would think Derek Cox would be in the core. He's a free agent coming up in the offseason.
To put perspective on how long seven games is, you know, seven games ago this team was 1-1 and you didn't know what they were. So seven games in this league can change a lot. Is it going to get you in the playoffs? Almost certainly not. But it can change perception, and it can change how you feel about the team going forward. And you can certainly get better in those seven games. Now, will they? I have no idea. But to say that these seven games don't matter or that something can't be judged from them is incorrect.
All right, this is off Facebook from JT. By the way, all of our tweets and Facebook questions are presented by our friends at Copy Facts. JT says, until Blaine Gabbert gets it together, is Eugene Monroe the leader on the offense?
Well,
No.
It depends on how you want to define leader. If you're going with leader as the rah-rah guy who's going to be out there doing the thing, well, no, certainly Eugene Monroe is not that. I think Eugene Monroe is one of the best players to have on the offense.
Oh, without question.
And so you can put that into the conversation. But that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Not just his performance, but growing into that leadership mm-hmm. role, which you wouldn't know it if you just sit there and watch the games and then see the scores and know the record. But I've been told from a number of guys in that locker room that Gabbert has taken much more of a stereotypical quarterback leadership position with the team.
And that's another thing that can happen in seven games. Again, for people to write off these last seven games, he needs to grasp that. He needs to keep going with that. He needs to, part of leadership at the quarterback position is making it happen, making plays, pulling out wins. That would help greatly if he starts being more of the guy, then all of a sudden he starts being more of the leadership role, then people have a better feeling that he's the long-term guy.
All right.
Part of what this season's about.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a great deal on Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealer. Back with more of the Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, Cole Pepper, John Osher. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Mike Mularkey, his comment on the 15-yard penalties from Thursday night's game. That's straight ahead. This is Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here on a Tuesday evening. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. If you want to join the conversation, you can also join us on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars, or you can tweet to either and or John Osher or and at Cole Pepper. Let's check in with Jay Gray once again, who's at Denny's Bay Meadows and I-95.
Yeah, it's a place to be tonight. If you ever wanted to meet a Jag player live and in person and get an autograph, there's where you got to be. Denny's at Bay Meadows and I-95. Russell Allen's here. Jeremy Cain's here. They're signing footballs. They've got jerseys here. Plus, club tickets and a parking pass to an upcoming Jags game. Go right here. You know you have to get that Denny's Power Play card with a chance to win that Mega Jags experience. It's for the December 23rd game against New England. All you have to do is get it stamped once for breakfast, once for lunch, and then twice for dinner. So if you're stopping, you already got your dinner covered. You just need three more, and you might be getting that Mega Jags experience.
All right, Jay, thanks for the check-in. Make Jeremy Cain sign it, from a long distance as the long snap. Sign it from a long way away.
Moving on.
All right, let's get some calls in here. John, what do you think?
Absolutely.
All right. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Jeff's in Orange Park, and he's up here on Jaguars Reporters. Jeff, how you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Good.
Actually, I had I want to use a team comparison to kind of lead into the question. I wanted to talk about the Colts. They're kind of the most familiar team, I guess you could use, with the Jags, with the new staff and everything. They've got a new quarterback, they got a new running back, new GM, and you look at them last year, they had a horrible year last year, probably the worst in history, I think. And, they get the new staff, and they come back this year, and it seems like, they're right back on track within a year. And I guess my question is it with the Jaguars, is it something that the Jaguars have right now that is causing this to not work as well, or is it something that we still need?
They don't have Andrew Luck.
You nailed it.
I'm not trying to be clever, but he's obviously on his way to being a special player. Moves around the pocket very well, and he's there. He's controlling the game, and when you've got a quarterback who is able to play at a high level like that, it makes an awful lot around you look good. I mean, it's it also helps a great deal that they have a veteran receiver in place in Reggie Wayne that gives him a very good bailout. Reggie helps you quite a bit when he's on the field. But, they've won a lot of close games, and solid quarterback playing is a big reason. And, I don't know what Blaine's end game is going to be, but right now the Luck is certainly further along than that, and he's playing at a higher level, and they're playing better right now, and that's a huge difference.
By the way, Andrew Luck in college, in draft, you know, preparation on the field as a pro has looked like that, you know, quarterback generation, and not necessarily generation like we would think of it being, you know, 20 years, but a quarterback generation's, you know, defining player,
yeah,
much like Manning has been, or you can say, you know, Manning and Brady have been for that generation, you know, Elway and Marino and Steve Young, Montana, you know, these guys, it's very early. I'm not going to put him in Canton yet, but I would be surprised if he didn't wind up being a really terrific quarterback, because he's been that and has looked like it all the way along.
Yeah, and mostly he looks very, very poised and is above average in his field presence as a rookie. And that's, you know, I haven't seen all the Colts games. They've had some breaks to win some of their games, because when you win five close games out of six, you're going to have some breaks. But that's why they look so far ahead, is when you've got the guy at quarterback, you're going to look like you're ahead.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Let's go to Cliff, who's at the beach, up next here on Jaguars Reporters. Hey, Cliff.
Oh, hey. Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll tell you what's on my mind. I've just about had it with these mealy-mouthed, milquetoast, half-baked analysis of the Jaguars and what's happening and what's not. I think you guys need to start calling a spade and coming right out and saying, look, the team doesn't have heart, here's why. You've got an issue with Gabbert, like, get rid of him. I mean, nobody wants to say the obvious. And, you know, you got to give the fans a break, will you? Give us a break. You know, don't urinate in my boot and tell me it's raining. Come right out and give me something. You know, listen to some of these other guys and analyze the Jags, and you'll learn a few things. But the things you guys throw out just don't make any sense. I'm not even sure you're watching the same game I am. So could you please comment on that?
Yeah, I'd love to, actually. All right, so let's start with this. Get rid of the quarterback now. All right, that'll certainly improve things. That's what you're calling for. Say they don't have any heart. First of all, I don't see that. We've had fans say they don't give very good effort. Well, by and large, this has not been an effort issue with this team. And listen, I understand fans are frustrated with what they're seeing, but between the two of us, John and I have covered the National Football League for 35 years, something like that, 38 years, whatever the number has been. We have a little bit of perspective about how you know, good or bad making a move at this point of the year would be.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
if you want heads to roll, then I mean, it's, you can go anywhere to find a fan who says fire everybody. They lose the game, fire everybody. If you want to come someplace where you want to hear something with some measured perspective, then you can come here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you 1-8 is what anybody wanted, but, you know, I don't think Gabbert has issues. He's not developed yet, but I'm looking on the screen that says we need heart is, you know, sort of the lead-in to your call, and I just don't see heart being Blaine's issue. I mean, I think he's inexperienced. I don't, as I said before, I don't know what his end game will be, but, you know, heart to me is not the issue. This team wants to win. It's not that it's not trying to win. I thought the other night, to be honest with you, with six personal foul penalties, I thought maybe the heart was misplaced. I thought there were a lot of guys out there trying who were sort of flailing around because they wanted to win, and maybe there was frustration setting in and they didn't know how. I mean, I thought there was effort and it was a lot of misplaced effort. But I'm just not a big believer that heart is a big issue. So
well,
anyway,
I guess some of the other announcers on other stations really express it a little differently than you both. And
that's
I've been
fine.
Watching the NFL for 35 years too.
Okay, watching the NFL. By the way, with all due respect, watching the NFL for 35 years is different than covering the NFL.
Well, I mean, he certainly has the right.
I disagree. I not only do I watch it, I listen to you.
Right, he certainly has the right. I mean, he has a right to his opinion, and there are plenty of people out there who think this team lacks heart, and there are plenty of people out there who think Gabbert shouldn't be the quarterback. You know, so, and that's fine, and everybody gets that. But you know, from my experience, I look at Blaine. I don't think heart's an issue. I don't know what his end game is. I think he's got to get a lot better. I don't know if he's going to be the quarterback next year in the future. I don't know because I don't know the future. But heart, I'm not a believer that that's the problem. I think there's a lot of issues, but it's not heart. And that's fine. I mean, other announcers can say it's heart, and they have the right to their opinion.
All right.
I can't control that.
Thanks for the call, Cliff. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's hear from the head coach, Mike Mularkey. He said it on the Mike Mularkey Show last night, 6 until 7, talking about the 15-yard penalties from Thursday night's game.
You know, I got a 15-yard penalty. That was a first for me. I lost my composure there, which, you know, I shouldn't have done. But, I was looking at a situation that I felt like here was a great goal line stand by our defense. And I just didn't want something bad to go against them again. And I just, because we've had so many bad things happen, for one reason or another, I want our players to have a good feeling. And when that did not happen, I just lost it.
Yeah, he did. And I frankly didn't have a problem with it. I thought that the one of the real issues on that play was that they didn't communicate that the play was being reviewed or that it had been reviewed.
Right.
And I didn't have a problem with the guy showing some frustration.
No, I didn't either. And, you know, I think from talking to Mike or I listened to him in the press conferences, rather, that's not what he wants to do. He's not really that. I mean, he wants to be in control during a situation, and I don't think he wants that to be his M.O., but
if it happens once in nine games, I think you're all right as far as
but I do understand what he's saying. His message to the team, he does not want that to be how the team as a whole reacts, and he's right in that. You don't want to have a team that's out there committing personal fouls willy-nilly because you won't win that way.
Yeah,
and so he is right about that.
And by the way, you got a tweet here from somebody saying the touchdown was not reviewed. Every scoring play is reviewed up in the booth.
Right.
Not on the field, but up in the booth. So that's the difference, that it was...
Right, Mike's issue is he didn't think it was reviewed correctly.
Yes, right.
And that's,
not that it wasn't reviewed.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right.
And that's worse,
right,
in a coach's opinion, because there's nothing you can do if it's reviewed incorrectly in your mind.
And by the way, it appears, going back and looking at some stills and some screen captures from that, it looks like they did get the play right. It was very, very close.
Yeah.
And the ball was moving around, but Luck never lost control before he crossed the front edge, the leading edge of the plane of the goal line. Jaguars Rewards Program, now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But the Rewards Program is now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith, his pick for the Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Week.
Tyson Alualu. He clearly had his best game of the year. He had five primaries. He had a pressure, he had a hit on the quarterback, and then he also had the sack and a batted ball. So he does not like to be limited, and we had done that for a good portion of the year, and he had requested that he wants to practice every day with his teammates, and he was a very disruptive force inside. You just see more suddenness in his overall play.
I think Tyson was more like they envisioned him being when they drafted him on Thursday night. They'd like to see about seven more games like that to show that he's one of those guys who was in that core group going forward that we talked about.
Yeah, and, you know, I know Tyson's a hot-button issue because fans, you know, he's a guy I like to criticize because he's not Jason Pierre-Paul, frankly. I mean, that's always the issue.
Yeah.
But I spoke to Tyson on Monday, and, you know, for a story I'm doing later, you know, later this week, he said it's as healthy as he's felt in the NFL. And I kind of said, well, are you optimistic about that for the future? And he's had such problems with the knee that, you know, he's not a guy given to bombastic comments, but you certainly got a vibe from him that he's optimistic, that he feels like he has a chance to play like he's supposed to play. And whatever you feel about Tyson, he's a terrific guy, and you hope for his sake that he gets a chance to play healthy.
Yeah, and because you like to, again, my whole point about this last 7 weeks being an evaluation process, you want to get as good an evaluation as you can on guys so you know what you have going forward.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play well.
800-355-NFL1. Let's patch a hole in the ozone real quickly here. Nick from Kingsland emailed in. John, is it wrong to say that I'm not worried about this program, even though we are 1-8 this season? I see the steps in the right direction toward being a factor in the playoffs in a few years. Just seems like people have given up on the new staff we have here without giving them a chance to really work their magic. This isn't something you change overnight.
Well, that was the positive email of the week.
That was the one. Right? That was the one?
And I chose it basically to say, you know, yeah, there is – it's okay to wait until the end of this season to judge it, basically, which is what we've been talking about a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen anyway. It's clear from Shad Khan's comments, he's evaluating. It's not going to be a quick trigger. So, you know, I think we'll see over the last seven games if what that email implies is correct. It, you know, if you see improvement, if you see some things going in the right direction, then maybe it is okay. At 1-8, I get that there's no reason for anybody to sit here and do cartwheels over the team. It's bad. But the last seven games are about trying to figure out if there might be a little hope in spots.
800-355-NFL1. Let's get some more calls in here. We have a few minutes. Terry's in Avondale, right to my neighborhood. Terry, you're up here on Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The issue is, you know, it's the fans. And, you know, we all have the right to, you know, we pay our money to see the game and everything, but to sit there and boo the team and boo them and boo them, they're still people. They still have emotions. And if you keep booing this team, they're going to play to your expectations. And, you know, I take my son down there, and that's he keeps asking me, he's 10 years old, Dad, why do they keep booing? You know, it's just terrible. And, like, I met Blaine Gabbert. He's a very respectful person. He's in there shopping with a list written from his mother, you know, and it dawned on me, you know, this is still a young man. You know, not to embarrass him or anything.
No, I'm 46, and I still shop with a list from Mom, so that's fine.
There you go. But just his level of respect and to see the youth in him, he still has a lot to develop. For somebody just to say, get rid of him, you know, maybe we need to get rid of that fan, you know. But that's all I want to make a point on. The fans need to chill out. They're the reason Coughlin got kicked out of here. Let the Jaguars make the decisions and the fans just shut up.
Well, and I get what you're saying, and that makes some sense. I mean, I also get that fans are going to be frustrated over 1-8, and that's why it still goes back to it's Shad Khan's team. It's the fans' job to do whatever they want to do. If they want to boo, if they want to support, that's all fine. But it's Shad's job to step back, not get caught up in the emotion of the moment, and make what he believes is the proper decision. That's the owner's biggest job, is to make those big picture decisions, and then after he makes them, get out of the way, whatever those decisions are. And I think that's why his approach is the right one, as upset as it might make people.
Yeah, and people want – I don't think most fans want change specifically.
They want to win.
And so it's what's the most dramatic thing that can be done to try to make – folks, in the middle of an NFL season, we've been through enough of these in you know, particularly over the last several years. You should have learned and recognized by now that you can't make dramatic changes in personnel in midseason because the apparatus is not available for you to do that.
The best thing to do is play out the seven games, see what you got, see what you don't got.
And then the changes can come.
You figure it out.
Or whatever else in the offseason. All right. That'll do it here for Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Thanks for everybody who joined us via Twitter, via Facebook, and on the phones. And for those of you just listening there, to John and I sugarcoat everything. For Joe Fortunato, for John Osher, Cole Pfeffer saying thanks for listening. Tomorrow night, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live at Latitude 30. Thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.